the celebration upon which Pentecost is based was a celebration by ancient Hebrews of the spring harvest. In that area, there were two harvests, one in spring and also one in the fall. And what we now call, which the Christian have taken over to call Pentecost, was at that time a celebration of the early harvest. I was reminded of that when we drove to our rustic cabin last weekend. That's why we worked here last Sunday. I was just literally thrilled by the appearance of the vegetation, the deep reds, and also the blossoms on the fruit trees as we were driving out to our place, which is near Perth, Ontario. It used to seem like a long drive, but now it seems quite exhilarating to drive in and of itself, especially in the spring when you see everything coming alive. And I was thinking of the early Jewish celebration of that spring harvest at that time. That same date, apparently, has been taken over by Christians to celebrate the presence of the Spirit. And by the way, Jews still celebrate the same day, and they are celebrating today as we are, as a day for the coming of the Spirit among Christian believers. For Jews, it's a day of thanksgiving. This day has a lot of meaning for many people throughout the world. The thing about spring that came to my mind is, how do we account for this amazing thing that happens every year? The blooming of flowers, the greening of the trees, the new growth that happens after everything has been laid barren by winter. When we think about it, it sort of renews a sense of mystery, it seems to me. We can explain in our current age a sequence of events leading to spring. We can talk about the growth and transformation, the role of photosynthesis, and so on, but can we explain the ultimate causes of this wonderful phenomenon? Why does this happen? What ultimately is behind this process? Where did the original seeds come from? Where did the nutrients come from? In the Psalms reading, it describes the wonders of nature and notes how this is all possible. I didn't choose to read Acts 2, which is the classic reading for the celebration of the Pentecost. Rather, I chose Psalms that talks about the renewal of the nature, and also Corinthians, which shifts focus to the diversity of people that God has chosen and that God blesses. In the classic reading of Acts 2, we are given an account of the gathering of people from diverse nations and speaking different languages, and all are united in their experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The question is, how is it possible that such a diverse group of people would come to the same sense of awe and wonder? The idea, then, of the Pentecost has come to mean a celebration of the presence of the Holy Spirit among believers, regardless of their nationality or genealogy. It is meant to be an uplifting experience that defies the rules of logic or science. Of course, the idea of the Spirit inhabiting within us can become distorted so that individuals might believe that they are possessed of the Holy Spirit, allowing them to confuse selfish desires with God-given rights. And we have seen examples of this in the past. The idea of the presence of the Spirit, it seems to me, has become slightly foreign for many of us in this modern age of advance in science and technology. And certainly since the age of the Enlightenment, there has been an increased skepticism regarding the idea of the Spirit existing among us, or of a God who is the cause of natural and social events. For example, most of us are not likely to attribute the current pandemic to a wrathful God, although there might be some people who do so. Rather, the focus has been on how the virus has been transmitted, and before that, how it originated. The inroads of science, if we go back to the 1500s, when Copernicus made the startling statement that the sun rather than the earth was the center of the universe, and the claim was later upheld by Galileo in the 1600s. And we note further explanations. They all seem to reduce the presence of God, and they all seem to make religion quite irrelevant. But as the methods of science have advanced and the wonders of technology have become increasingly impressive, so too has the decline, I think, in believers in God's presence in the world. And if not of God's presence, the idea that religion and its precepts are even necessary. Those of us of a certain age can recall the popularity of the idea of God is dead. Who needed God when we had science? And if there was a God, how could he or she allow the devastation of two world wars, or the mass murder of Jewish people, or even the current pandemic? If there is a God, who would allow the murder of the black man that we have seen in the news, or the trashing of the Jewish synagogue here in Montreal? What is missing in the scientific approach, it seems to me, is an image of ultimate cause of both creation of the natural world as well as human life itself and the attributes attributed to human life. We seem to be uncomfortable in skirting the question of ultimate causes and accept explanation that focus of if when statements of our scientific explanations. For example, science does not really deal with ultimate causes. What it deals with is relationships. It says, in effect, if this occurs, then this is likely to happen, or if that occurs, that is likely to happen. It is unable to identify the ultimate source of these forces. So science can explain processes, but it cannot explain ultimate causes. It says, again, that when some events happen, others are likely to happen as a result. So the realm of science may be filled with hope and anticipation and gratification, but it also is a history of disappointment and sadness when experiments fail. The point I'm trying to make here is that if we think of our modern world as one run by science and technology, we often lose sight of the emotions that are frequently associated with the practice of science, let alone we forget the question about the causes of what happens in our natural world. We forget that we are dependent on others for not only knowledge, but for our well-being. And it is here, I think, that religion fills the void, and our belief, our faith, fills the void. For we, as individuals, need support, and we need compassion from others, and we need to express that compassion to others, and we need to support the emotions of others. certainly most of us have become aware of this during our time of isolation during the virus here. Now we could get around these feelings, I think, of emptiness in our isolated state through practices of yoga or meditation or other approaches. But these often fail to produce the sense of renewal and exhilaration that religious social practices often provide. Religion, Christianity, speaks to the mysteries of nature and the presence of human emotion, as well as concerns for human well-being, not only for ourselves, but also for others. What I'm trying to say here is there are two issues. One is that religion provides us with something science doesn't. That is an answer to ultimate causes. And secondly, religion furnishes us with the emotion and the drive that makes science possible. But that kind of discussion is only relevant if one is arguing with a rabid scientist. What is more important is that Pentecost reminds us not only of the wonders of creation, but it also reminds us of the sacredness of human life and what holds human life together. Pentecost then imagines the presence of the Holy Spirit that reinforces these beliefs, especially in the belief in the value of compassion. We have been, again, aware of the need for compassion as we read about the riots that are occurring in the United States and the injustices that are apparent throughout the world. Unfortunately, suffering and injustice continues, and we lack answers. And despite ongoing sophistication in science and technology, the concepts of God and the Holy Spirit provide us with reference points to account for the need to be compassionate to others, even when there is no reward or justification for doing so. This is something that science nor technology can offer. A God who commands us to love one another is something that is seldom mentioned in a world that has become enamored with the promises of ever-growing wealth and delightful technological developments. The point of the Pentecostal experience, then, it seems to me, is not only to experience renewal for oneself, but to strengthen the capacity for compassion for others and to act on that important emotion. The methods of science do not provide that for us. And that is why I think it is necessary to celebrate the qualities, the attributes, the experience of what has been called the Pentecostal experience. Thank you.